Well, hey guys, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I have been extraordinarily blessed over my career to meet some really fascinating and successful people, and I get to now bring those conversations to you. So I hope that we can all learn and grow from each other. I hope you enjoy. Extremely honored and privileged today to being able to bring to you not one phenomenal guest, but we have two phenomenal guests today. And when we decided to do a Father's Day, we did a Mother's Day, now we're going to be doing a Father's Day edition. I knew exactly who I wanted to call, which is one of the most dynamic father-son duos in our industry, certainly that we know. And that is Paul Kelly and his son, Noah Kelly. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to dig into all the good stuff. But if you don't mind, Paul, one more time, please. We had a recording issue earlier. So one more time for everybody. Give us a little bit about your background and bio, and then we'll hear from Noah, and then we'll get into the good stuff. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this industry, Paul.
Oh, my gosh. I fell into it. No, I just... I was born in Gatesville, Texas, 1954. Oldest of three siblings. Neither of my parents graduated from high school, so higher education wasn't on their priority list. They got GEDs later in life. My dad was a veteran, a newspaper printer, and a mechanic. My mother was a secretary and a school cook for many years in the Montrose School District there in Montrose, Colorado. Mm-hmm. With my mother's help, I counted up how many times we moved in our my lifetime, and it's turned out to be 40. So because of that, on a positive side, I think I learned to make friends quickly because of that and adapt to new situations as they came up throughout my life. From about the age of 12, though, we lived in Colorado mostly, in the Montrose, Gunnison area. And I can still consider Colorado to be my home in many ways. So I always like to say I was born in Texas. I was raised in Colorado. I was educated in Iowa, and I married into Missouri. So one of those things that just been around the Midwest a lot. In 1976, I became a captive life and health agent with Mutual of Omaha. I worked for the Frank Zarlingo Agency out of Denver, Colorado. I was a rookie of the year that year. I actually got to go to Las Vegas because of that and meet, if I knew, I'd forget his name, Marlon Perkins, who was
big. Oh, no the, way.
Remember Marlon Perkins? Yeah, he was on the Wild Kingdom show. Well, it was a big deal at the time. Anyway,
Which they're bringing that back, by the way, Paul.
Oh, are they?
Well, not Marlon Perkins. They're not bringing Marlon back. They're bringing the show back.
That would be a trick. After a few years of doing that, I kind of felt I was missing something in my life. I wanted to go back and get my education. I wanted to get a college degree. So sight unseen, I went to Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa, of all places, basically because it was a Lutheran school, a liberal arts school of the Lutheran Church. So I went there. I was an English and religion major with a philosophy minor. Hmm. I graduated with honors, by the way. I did okay. And then as I did that, I still had a lot of questions, still had a lot of things, issues I wanted to resolve. So I entered Wartburg Theological Seminary to study, and I did earn a master's degree there and was ordained in the Lutheran Church. I've been ordained for 35 years. I became an insurance agent again in 2002. And as I was serving two churches outside of town here in Cole Camp, Missouri, that didn't pay all that much, so I needed to supplement my income. And so that's why I went into this. I wanted to do just life and health. In fact, I wanted to do just senior market. That's what was where I wanted to do that. So after 10 years of doing that, I actually retired from the ministry and put all my efforts into the insurance agency. And it's been a good run. I was actually trained by Dan McNerney and Bobby Richardson. They did the classroom work.
I know them.
Field trainer was Dean Gladwell.
Yeah.
Dean took me under, and David McNerney as well. They both took me under their wing. Dean, in particular, took me out. We went door to door, and they were great trainers. Wow. I mean, I couldn't have asked for any better people to bring me up. Dean Gladwell was incredible. He's common as an old shoe, but I could tell you he could get into any house and talk to anybody about anything. He was great. Right?
Yeah.
In 2005, I left the Barnes Group, which was the captive side of the agency, and I started my own agency, the Paul Kelly Insurance Agency, with Dan's blessing and help, by the way. He gave me great help financially even to do this. I was attempting that new paradigm. I wanted to do it with using an office and advertising and seminars and that sort of thing. And that was kind of a different way of going about it because he had done it so much differently than usually going door to door. I still did some of that, but it wasn't as much of it. And since that time, we do mostly referral business at this point. Dan was big on goal setting, and I'd never run into that much of it in my life. But he told me when we were training, one of the first things, first day, actually, write down 10 things that I dreamed of having in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote them down, and I'm glad to say that all 10 of those things, like a house, a home, a new house, a new car, a six-figure income, blah, blah, blah. All of that happened many times over. And since I've been with Barnes Group and, of course, SMS and my own agency. Zig Ziglar was also one that he used oftentimes. For, you know, it was a big deal for Dan. He, in fact, he still uses him quite extensively. But he said some things that I never forgot. He said, help others get what they want, and you will get what you want. Also said, to be successful, you must be willing to do what others won't.
Mm-hmm.
That hung with me because I didn't like going door to door that much. I put my son and my wife's picture on the dashboard to remind myself why I was getting out of that car and going up to the house that I didn't know who was behind the door and was trying to start a concept at 7 o'clock in the evening. But anyway, it worked. It usually remembering all of that sort of thing helped a lot. But I have to say, before our heat moves on, to Noah, my main source of inspiration to this day has been my father-in-law, Raymond Schlesman.
Mm-hmm.
He died a few years ago, but he had a profound effect on my life. He's a man who never completed the sixth grade, and yet he became a highly successful businessman. He was a John Deere dealer for 42 years. And he was approached, get this, he was approached by the local banker and other professionals in the business in the area. Because of his character. Get that. Because of his character. He didn't have any money. They were going to back him with the money. Because of his character, his integrity, and his work ethic. And he turned those things into a very successful 42-year run that has not been matched in this area. He was a man of his word. His word was his bond. And that's, I know it's old-fashioned, but it's true. And he put the needs of his clients first. He actually put the needs of his employees first, too, oftentimes not paying himself in order to pay them during the winter months when, you know, John Deere was not as busy.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my biggest supporters. He had doubts about me going into this business because he knows how many people fail at the insurance business.
Right.
But it was a time when I was number two in the nation with Mutual Omaha for a month, you know, whatever. I was never really a top producer, you know, like some of them, but and he hugged me the first and only time in my life. He hugged me because he knew I was going to be a success.
That's what got the hug.
Mind, you know. So, but you know, and when he said, he also said one thing to me once that never forgotten. He said, "There is nothing others can do that I can't," and that's come back to me many times. Not only just business, but in things like surgical procedures that I've had, and other things where I've had to face some unknowns. I remember his words saying that to me. If others can face it, basically, so can I. And that's really helped me all, you know, all this time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
We have to remind you that whenever you have some operations, you know.
It's like going to
the
dentist, you know.
Yeah,
oh my god, I don't want to.
Yeah, nobody wants to.
There's
nothing that any of us, I don't think, ever go through that somebody hasn't walked that similar path. As well. So it doesn't help you walk any easier, but it certainly is more comforting to know that it can happen. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul. So, Noah, how did you get roped into this? Was it always in the cards?
It was a long time coming. So I'll back up just a little bit. So we landed here when I was in fourth grade in Cole Camp, Missouri. It's where Mom's from, and Raymond, who he just talked about, the Slazeman side of the family. That's where we all come from, this town. So I went from fourth grade to 12th grade. I finished out high school here, and from here I went down to Missouri State. And even in that transition between high school and going to college, I didn't really necessarily have a major in mind. I really didn't. I was just going down there, you know, let's do college. I was playing in the Pride Band.
Wildlife was his major.
And yeah.
If you know my major.
Yeah. yeah. But I played tuba down there in the Missouri State Pride Band. That was one heck of an experience. That was a great couple of years there. But even in that transition, I was never really pressured, I guess is the word, by either Paul or Sandy to consider the business, to consider some sort of a business major, finance major, anything like that. Never once did that ever happen. And, and I find that interesting. Almost I have to thank them for that, because that allowed me to explore a little bit. So fast forward 3 years later, it's 2012. I'm still kind of floundering. My grades can reflect that, as you know. Wasn't the greatest thing in the world.
Oops.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Too soon. Move on.
And at that point, there was still some other things pulling at me that I haven't done yet. And part of that was because Raymond was also, my grandfather was also a Korea veteran, an Army veteran. So that still stuck with me. And I said, you know what? If I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. So I was enlisted in the Army. You can call me a college dropout at that point. I did drop out. And I did the Army. And much to your displeasure and Mom's, I joined the infantry.
It was hard.
Yeah, I joined the infantry. I was initially looking for an intelligence job, and that wasn't available. They said, well, Kelly, you can either be an infantryman or you can be a cook. And I said, well, that's a no-brainer. So joined the infantry, and off I went. And in those 4 years, did one tour overseas in Afghanistan, 2014.
Longest year of my life.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember that.
Yeah. And then
I was with the 101st Airborne. I was very proud of what he accomplished in Afghanistan. And I think I gave him only advice I gave him before he left was don't do anything that you feel ashamed of when you come back home. And I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, got back. And
this is where I cry.
Tears.
Yeah. No, got back in the end of 2014, had another year remaining, and that was the point where, well, do you want to re-up your contract or do you want to leave? And I was like, no, I think I'm pretty well done, because
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. So 2016, I went back to Missouri State and started again, and I finished my degree in 2019 with a degree in criminology, because I really thought I was going to be a police officer or somewhere federal up the chain.
It was about that time, as a spring of that year, a senior year, that I approached it.
Well, it was you. You did that, and then one of the people I credit most with even planting the seed, planting of the seed.
That's
was Dan Mangus. He came up here, and it was you having lunch with him.
Yeah,
and I showed up. I was here for an extended weekend. And he was sitting right here where I am, actually right here. And he says, well, we're going to go have lunch. I'm buying if you want to go. And I said, well, I never really got the opportunity to meet Dan. So I said, sure, I'll go to lunch with you. We went up the street, and it was like a long con pitch. I mean, this guy laid it out. And he's like, this is what we do. You know, we help people. And this is kind of what you're wanting to do with police work or whatever you're going to do. And it went in, and it just sat inside my brain, and I couldn't turn it off because it made a lot more sense. And then wasn't shortly after that, I said, do you mind if I come up here and shadow you and Mom? And he said, sure. So I spent 3 days.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So I sat in for some appointments that he had, and was like, this is great. This is fun. You know, this, get the people every day, get to help them find a solution for whatever problem they have. And that was a light bulb moment for me. That was really was. But Dan, I can really credit for a lot of that. Cause
that's awesome.
Yeah. He threw that line out there and let it sit. And I bit the hook and I bit it hard. So, and here I am.
Well, it wasn't right away. I mean, he went back to school and I didn't hear from him for a while. So I thought, well, I'll shoot, you know, he's going off to the direction. But then one night he called and said, is that offer still on the table?
Yeah.
Because, you know, otherwise I had to sell the, you know, we'd be pretending I'm going to retire at some point. We'd have to sell this place. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, it is. And he said, well, I think I'd like to do that. And the only thing I talked to him about coming here, I said, if you don't like it, be brutally honest with me and tell me, because, you know, I don't want to saddle you with something that you don't want to do for the rest of your life. Because you know what we do. And I think it's a noble profession. But if you don't find that to be the case, let me know that. I'm not going to force you to do something you don't want to do. So worked out.
Yeah.
It's been here over 2 years now, 2.5 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So walk me through that day, Paul, when Noah called. Well, first of all, the call that you got from Noah that said, hey, can I come shadow you guys? What went through your heart at that point?
Tremendous hope. I was smiling. I went in Sandy's office next to mine. I went in the office and said, your son just called and wants to come up here and shadow for a few days. And she said, really? I said, yeah. So I said, of course, all the possibilities start running through our mind. We can do this, we can do that. But, you know, and then, but you know what it did for us is that it kind of secured what we needed to do in order to start the movement toward retirement. Now, we're still in that process, but what we did after we hired him after first year or so, and he went through AEP, survived,
test.
We hired another person, which is actually a classmate of Noah, mm-hmm. to take Sandy's place, because she also is a person with great character and integrity, Janae Beats, and she's been a tremendous addition. Her IT skills alone, you know. Yeah, she's helped us start to broaden our whole perspective. Awesome. Going online to do all the things we can do with the social media and all the things we shouldn't be doing. A long time ago, we just haven't been able to have the skill level to do. Anyway, she has come aboard and done that. And just recently, we hired one more who will take the place of our office manager because she's ready to retire and was going to retire when I retired. So that's the final piece to the puzzle. And we found her at the bank, and she's been was number one on our list. We just threw out a seed and see, you know, came in and asked if she'd be at least give it some thought, if she'd be willing to look at that idea. And she came to us after a weekend and said, thinking that I was going to die at the bank, I think I would like to do that. And so now we're in the process of training her. Yeah. She won't be on board until June. So it tells you something. I mean, they value her, but she's also going to be taking us into board to find some of the financial services, 401ks, IRA stuff that we've been trying to do. She's very versed in all of that. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be very helpful to the agency.
That's amazing.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to be funny. Usually when my husband walks in and starts a sentence with your son, just it usually doesn't. It's usually not a positive. Do you know what your son just did?
After 3 years of paying for his education, your son joined the Army.
Finish it for free, though.
You did.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. See the silver lining.
He was in the Army, especially when he was in Afghanistan. I think I wrote you a letter every day, and then every other day.
Yeah.
I wrote a novel, you know, for letters. Yeah.
Did you save those?
Sandy and I couldn't talk about it. I mean, we couldn't. She would not entertain talking about it being over there. It's too hard to consider.
I still have all those.
Some stuff. We just talked about fishing and fooling and stupid stuff. He actually had an audience that he could read as my letters to. So
All the guys in our platoon there. You know, I get one in the mail, and sometimes we wouldn't get mail for month and a half, 2 months, just because the mail trucks would get blown up. So we start to lose things. But whenever I get a letter, I pull it out and I say, oh, guys, I got another one. You know, hold it up. And they all gather kind of in front of me like a kindergarten class. And I just pop it.
Oh, my God. They didn't
know anybody that was in the town. They didn't know anyone that he's talking about. But the way he wrote was in a way that was just, it just told a great story. And they, I don't know, they just like to hear it, especially the funny bits.
A little piece of
like that. But
yeah. Wow.
News and all that stuff from the local
area. You know, one thing too, with Noah coming on board, and you asked me, one of the questions that was thrown out earlier was that, what have I learned from my stuff? I have to tell you, Noah's so much further advanced. This whole generation is so much further advanced technologically than I am and my wife is. I mean, he knows how to work much smarter than I do. I could teach him all of the things, you know, about the product knowledge, things like that you have to do, but he would sit there and say, yeah, that works, but why don't we do it this way? Boom, boom, boom. I didn't even know that was possible. I was in there, you know, I'd just be dumbfounded, my jaw on my, you know, chest. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that. So, you know, I've been in this business for a long time, and that's kind of nice to see that you know, there's things that help. So he's going to do it quicker, faster, cleaner than what I can do, what I can do it. I may have more product knowledge, but it just comes with experience. You know, he'll have that. He'll have that. I'm not. That's the piece of my problems.
I love that. And kudos to you, Paul, for accepting that, because I think sometimes that isn't the norm. Like, that isn't always so accepting when some young kid that thinks he knows it all comes into the business. You've been doing this for 30 years. You're going to tell me how to run my, you know, I can see, and we do see it. We see it a lot. So kudos to you, Paul, for being receptive to understanding there are better ways.
Don't do too many praises here. I kind of.
Oh, that was my last one. That was my last one.
You know, I had a thing with some of your staff, for instance. You know, that I kind of kicked and screamed a little because, you know, I was in that same frame. Well, you know, tell me how to do my business. Then I realized, yeah. There's some good stuff here.
Yeah.
You need to pay attention to this.
Kind of need to, yeah.
So let's go the other way, Noah. Tell us a little bit about, so you bring maybe a new way, maybe innovative ways, maybe more efficient ways, whether that's through technology or just resources, just knowing kind of where to go to get things. So walk us through what you've learned from Paul and what you take into your day-to-day business life.
Sure. You know, you can kind of take what he said and flip it on its head, and I can go the opposite way. I have the best teacher that I could get to do what we do. He's an encyclopedia book of knowledge of Medicare. That alone was just, it's so valuable, and it's going to be hard to see you go, because if I have a question, you know,
I'll be around.
Right there, I can go ask him a question.
I'll be around.
Yeah, it may not have good cell coverage.
In the campground, but I can get old.
Yeah. No, but as far as you know, things, I can only do what I do quickly because I learn from him. And then a lot of that is connections with some folks, or how to steer a conversation into creating something or things than what you're sitting there talking. Mm-hmm. That's something that he's taught me quite a bit about there. But, you know, yeah, to be able to fire off an application, you know, e-app, and then save it, download it, and put it into an agency block kind of thing, you know, yeah, I can do that all day, but how did we get to that point? And that all came from him.
Right.
So every block that he's given me as far as building my knowledge has all led to this point where we're just able to get things.
Yeah, what I tried to teach him from the start was how to ask questions. Because I think if you ask the right questions, people are more than willing to tell you what their concerns are. You just have to be willing to ask the questions and then stop and listen to what they're telling you. So when I ask questions, I'm probing. I'm trying to find out, you know, why they're in my office and what can I do to help them solve the problem that they obviously have. So, and then we want to do it also in a way that's, we're more like educators than we are salespeople. I really hesitate to say we're salespeople.
Yeah,
you know, because really we're just giving them alternatives, right? Mm-hmm. We're just find a way in which what works well for you, whether it's an advantage plan or a supplement or whatever it is. I mean, we try not to have any prejudices at this point. we're trying to say, well, what works well for you? And tell me more about you.
So it's incredible too, because he told me, he said, you know, you have a person come in, you don't really know them, you probably never met them.
Yep.
And they come in and they want to talk to you about, let's say, Medicare, just basics and everything. And then get them in the office. You go through the niceties. How are you doing? You know, where are you from? Okay, yeah, I know right where you're at. And then you say, well, what can we help you with today? What's going on? And then it's like word vomit all over the desk. And you just sit there and listen and write notes. And then all of that comes together. And it's just, it's okay. Incredible. Yeah. It really is incredible. It's fun.
So you're learning, what I'm hearing is, Noah, you're learning kind of the master class, if you will, of sales. Yes, right. You guys like to call yourself educators. I'm sure that's how your clients see you, and that is the number one role. But at the end of the day, if it results in sale, then that's even better, right? Yeah. That's how we build our business, to help more people. So I think what you're saying is you're getting from Paul this masterclass in how to handle customers and when they come in, and kind of the steps that you go through to listen to the clients. So you're absolutely right, Paul. I think asking questions is important, but so many people just then don't do anything with the answers. They're not listening. So I think, you know, what is it that God gave us two ears and one mouth, not by accident. We need to listen twice as much as we talk. And I think even in sales, well, probably especially in sales, because I've met a lot of young salespeople or young in the business, regardless of age. And it's all about getting that app. It's all about getting to the close. It's all about getting to the good stuff, right? And they just rush right past listening that customer is saying. It'll still result in a sale if you listen, but you might have steered it the wrong direction to where that's not going to be the best thing for that client. So what a great masterclass for you, Noah, to be able to watch and listen and learn. So Paul, you had run the business how long before Noah stepped in?
Oh gosh.
Or been in the business.
19 years.
Yeah. Sandy came in with me in 2013 when she retired from teaching.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've had in this agency from the very beginning, I'm a firm believer in this, is there's no pressure. We put absolutely no pressure on our people. They always talked about closing 3, 4, 5, 6 times. No, we don't do that. No, I asked them for the business. Don't get me wrong. Say, how does that sound to you? Would you like to do that today? You know, that kind of thing. But if they want to think about it, think about it. No, mm-hmm. I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. And so, you know, I don't like it when people pressure me in places where I'm going to be purchasing them. And I think we feel the same thing here. That's why we give our employees a very generous salary and incentives for the production of the entire agency. You know, it's not just their production, but everybody's production combined. Right. They get a small percentage of that at the end of the year. We do that in order to take the pressure off having to make a sale. Sure. You don't have to make the sale. You make contacts. You fill the pipeline. You get things going. And like, again, like they said, Zig says so many times, if you give them what they want, you'll get what you want.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, no, we have that printed all over. That is definitely...
As you do.
Yes.
That is definitely, again, the words that we live by in all areas of our company, too. So walk us through. So some technology, some more efficient systems Noah has been able to bring to the table.
Yeah.
What else? What about finding customers? Or have you guys expanded your reach or expanded you talk about expanding the products?
Funny you should say that.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that was a great setup.
Yeah.
No, why don't you tell us about that?
2 days ago.
Yeah. So 2 days ago, we started, it's going to be a series of seminars. They're Medicare 101 seminars, purely informational. Absolutely no sales at the event. So we had one three nights ago, Tuesday night, here in town, just down the street, a place called Wine Antiques and More. And we had 10 people show up to that, which I thought was pretty good. First one we did. and went through the whole thing. And we had some snack foods and stuff like that out there for them.
The experience I had with doing seminars in the past, I like to limit the seating to no more than 15, 16 tops. Right. Because I tell them up front, I will be calling you tomorrow. I'm going to call you. I'm going to thank you for coming. Secondly, I want to ask you if you have any questions that we didn't get to, or that some people don't want to talk in a crowd.
Sure.
And so we tell them that you have the opportunity to have a one-on-one tutorial tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you guys, I will be calling you tomorrow morning. And that's what he did. So he called. That's follow-up is easier when you got 10 to 15 than it is if you got 25 or 30.
So not that you guys.
We're going to do it monthly, and we're going to see how that goes. We'll do some mail drops if we need to. Start getting as many contacts as we can. But
yeah.
And we also in May, from May to September, we also close the office on Fridays.
Good for you. Good for
we
you.
We try to balance time as well as a effort. So thank you. I think people need time to have, especially in the summer, have time with their.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. We have shorter hours. We can't close all day, but we do have shorter hours on Friday. Get a kickstart to everybody's weekend. No, not that you need any advice or help, but we did just meet about a month ago with another agency over in Illinois that has had tremendous success. Their setup is very similar to yours. It's a family business. It's in a small area. Small town area, but they have had tremendous success with those seminars, leading to many, many, many annuity sales as well. Oh. It's a Medicare education, which is why they come. But their goal, and it started by accident, just simply from, again, like you said, Paul, asking the right questions and listening to what they were saying, to where now that's as big a part of the presentation. You know, your health and your wealth. We heard that. You know, I've heard that my entire career. Those are the two things that your customers are concerned about, their health and their wealth, and protecting both of those. And they're so connected that if we leave one of those pieces to the puzzle out, you're subjecting the one that you are protecting possibly to be impacted. So again, I'm sure you're 10 steps ahead of me, but if you would like their call notes or their copy of their presentation, we'd be happy to share any of that.
No, we would love that because we're, you know, even though we're getting our own rhythm kind of figured out, anything new could always be very useful. That's why I'm really excited about this key accounts deal next month. I can't wait to talk to other folks.
Yeah, I think, well, it's almost May. Well, that's true. We're recording this, going to air it around Father's Day. You're right, Paul. You corrected us. So one of the things, I'm glad you brought that up, Noah. One of the things that I learned very early on in my career is the best way for me to learn is through watching and listening and comparing notes with others that do either what I do or what I want to be doing, right? So studying everybody, advisory council, Paul, which you've been such an integral part of, and now Noah is as well. That's where that concept was born from. You first have to have the trust. You have to have a common destination of where you're going with your business. But once you do, you get a bunch of like-minded professionals around the table that want to grow what they're doing through helping others. Then that to me has always been one. I can look back on all the different times that I've done that in my career, and all of them were what gave me that next push, that next leap, that next jump in my career. And so I'm super excited to have you there too.
What's awesome for me is it not only has it allowed me to be part of other people, professionals within the industry, but I've become friends with a number of people.
Yeah. On the
council or not, doesn't make a difference. But like Todd Hornstreet is a good friend of mine. And we are light years apart when it comes to certain things in our lives, you know, politics and other things. But he's my friend. And he was one of the first ones that I met when I came to Barnes Group. And he was very kind to me. He was self-absorbed like so many can be in the business because they got their own things to do. But he didn't. He was helpful and he waited for me. Yep. Same with David McNerney. Same with Dan. I mean, they're all very kind to me from the start. I think that helps you get off to a tremendous start in your career.
Gordon Brown, for me, has been a big
influence.
Just good, especially because we got to go up there to their agency.
Best thing we ever did.
Not long ago and see what they were doing. And they showed us everything. Didn't matter. They said, sit down and take control of the thing. And, it was great,
And that's where that trust comes in. They don't just invite anybody in the country that wants to come learn everything about that. You have that trust that your company and his company have now developed and to be able to share that is a huge privilege. But I think it's the best way that all of us learn. I think too many types of businesses build their business on an island and they want to, protect it and keep anything that's not a part of my business out there. And this is mine. And I don't want to share either. And I think that's, it takes time to get there, but I think that's wrong. That's wrong. And I don't care what business or what industry you're in. If you can learn from others through sharing a little bit about what you're doing, then it's a win. There's enough customers for all of us to talk to. We do things differently enough that we're not, constantly competing. But if helping is helping you run their business, we'll always end up, again, back to the Zig Ziglar, Paul. I mean, you're helping enough other people get what they want. You will get everything you want. And then some is the only thing I would add to that. In buckets full.
Well, I see that there's also, as I move closer and closer to retirement, as that process continues, I see that there are mentors in the wings, like Gordon Brown, like Dan Magnus, yourself, others that are there. I know he's well cared for. I mean, if he needs to know something or wants to learn more, there's always that that experience. Okay. If you continue to invite him to the advisory council, He'll learn a tremendous amount there, not so much also in the sectionals, but just one-on-one. When you're just talking, away from the group, it's amazing what you find out.
Those are the best. Yeah, that any big group discussion, just like you said with the seminars, is good. Man, when you get that one-on-one time, that's golden, right? That's golden. Well, let's talk about some of the fun stuff. So what's a typical Saturday look like for you guys? Or what was a best day in your life? What would you be doing?
Well, 5 a.m., we're up and rolling, and we're going to be on the water by 5:30. We're crappie fishing. So.
So fishing, so do you have a lake close, or where do you guys like to go?
We're actually very fortunate where we are here in Coal Camp. I don't know how you get down there, but most folks, when they come to the Lake of the Ozarks, come through Coal Camp and go through Stover and get to Versailles or, whatever. But from here, we have Lake of the Ozarks 30 minutes away. We have Truman Lake 30 minutes away the other way. So I've got two lakes.
Yeah. You're golden.
Yeah.
10 miles away. So Sandy and I recently bought a pontoon boat to do a new pontoon boat.
Nice.
Because Sandy loves to be on the water, and I thought, that's a good retirement gift. So we bought a new pontoon boat. Nice. And we got our fifth wheel years ago, so we're going to use that to camp with and then get on the water. And that's what we do in our spare time. Wintertime, it's a little different, of course, but we get into sports and high school things and college thing. Anyway, so it's just good stuff, just to keep busy. Keep going.
That's awesome.
Family gatherings, we certainly enjoy those, and all the things we can do with family. Sandy's family is extensive through here, so here's somebody there. His name's Schlesman. She's related to him. It's one of the reasons why I didn't go into securities, become a securities person with selling bonds and all that sort.
Absolutely.
Because she's related to half of this county, and I couldn't lose them money. It's just that would not go over well.
We'll be charged.
That would all come back to you.
Fixed annuities is all we do. That's it.
Yeah. So we could probably do a whole nother episode, it sounds like, but I want to know more about this father-in-law of yours. I want to know, you said he was one of the most instrumental people in your career as a mentor, Noah, you even as well. What's the secret? How did he live his life, or what did he do? Noah, I think specifically with you as a grandfather, I'm a grandma now, and my most important role is that connecting with those grandkids. And so what did he do as a grandpa that shaped you so much?
He he was one of my best friends growing up, because he had, of course, my mom and then my Aunt Raylene. He had two girls, and I never got to have a boy. So I was kind of like the long lost son he never had. So he taught me how to do just about everything farmhand wise out of his place, and through that taught me a lot of lessons about value of hard work, and you don't quit until it's done.
That's right.
But you still take a nice break for lunch, and have a beer under the shade tree. But it was things like that, and things.
He would not talk about his army experience in Korea with the women, but he would with us. If we were barbecuing, we'd sit around the barbecue outside, and he would tell stories of his experiences. I think a lot of that stayed with Noah. And it wasn't glorified. I mean, that wasn't the point. He saw things that human beings shouldn't see. And he wanted Noah to know that bad things are also in the world, but there are also good people who surround yourself with and survive all that. So he was an extraordinary human being. It's hard to sum him up in a couple of words. Profound effect on my life. Well, I didn't always agree with. We would pop veins at each other. We didn't always agree with each other, especially politically. We were not anywhere in the same ballpark. But my gosh, I always held him in high esteem. Always, and he always showed me great respect, and I reciprocated. He was. I couldn't have asked for a better father-in-law, and a better father for him.
Yeah.
What a wonderful legacy, and it's very clear to me, Paul, that you now have taken those shoes, and you have now followed in his footsteps with Noah having, and so many in your family having great respect for you and in your community. And someday your grandkids will look up to you and hold you in that same regard. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, that's the goal, right? You want to have that kind of impact on your family, but that's wonderful.
Well, Noah's going to be getting married June 25th. So,
awesome. Well, congratulations.
Wonderful person. We really have adopted as a daughter already, Samantha Uncle. And so, we're excited.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Well, this is going to be a big year then. That's awesome.
Oh, it's a packed year.
Awesome. Well, I've enjoyed spending the time with you guys, getting to know both of you a little better. I appreciate the father-son dynamic, the business partner dynamic, the succession, the trust that you have, Paul, in Noah to take that legacy on. Noah, the trust that you had in your parents to build that kind of a legacy for you, and then what you're going to do with it is even bigger and even better, and just keep going on for generations and generations. So I appreciate the both of you very much. I appreciate our time here, and I know everybody's learned a lot and gotten a lot of little words of wisdom written down by both of you. So I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having
absolutely,
me.
Absolutely. Well, have a great day, guys. Hope you get to go crappie fishing in the morning.
Oh, yeah.